Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for Senior Focus for this session. And with me in the studio is Riona from the community housing sector, because our topic is going to be about community housing today. But before we branch into that, just a few updates coming from Auckland Grey Power, who's the sponsor of the program. This is entering into March and it's event season. There's a lot of events and activities going on. International Women's Day is celebrated around the world, and there's a lot happening on the 8th. Friday the 8th is the official day, but there's events happening on the Saturday on the 9th. And yesterday I was at an event on the 2nd, organised by a woman in the south of Auckland. But there are different parts of the region, there will be different celebrations going on. There's a big one at the Fickling Centre on the 9th, starting at 9:30 in the morning, going through till, I think, 3 in the afternoon. And that one is organised by Anne Parler. And there will be women from different ethnic organisations at that. So we're basically looking forward to seeing enough support for these activities so that women get better connected and they're able to help one another consider maybe standing for council, standing for their local board, looking at ways they can raise the voice of women to get more change across the city. And I think there's a lot of issues to be dealt with, including family violence, including support for women who have interruptions to employment, and particularly for housing. So we're going to focus on housing today. And I think that if women and their parenting are central to the health and wellbeing of families, not to mention that men are too, but they are central to the family being in a home. And when people are disrupted and they don't have any ongoing security in housing, then it affects all their relationships. It's very destructive on the family unit. And I think that should be our starting point for our session today. So, Riona, welcome. It's very good to have you in the studio.
Nice to be here.
And with your background, having been in the frontline situation of people coming in with housing issues, I found it really interesting to talk with you about the statistics about homelessness, because sometimes we're getting research that was done back in 2016, perhaps quite a limited study, and it isn't a very full picture. So I know that the City Mission published stats last year saying there was around about 40,000 nationwide homeless, and half of those were in Auckland. And I'm just wondering if you'd like to comment on that.
Yes, because we believe that it is a lot higher than 40,000. We would say it's 100,000 plus just in Auckland. And what that is including is your youth who are couch surfing, your families that are in overcrowded situations where they're not necessarily on the on any stats. So there's a lot of hidden homelessness that is not included in the official stats at all. And I know that there was a study done late last year where they went out and just talked to the people who are living on the streets wanting to do a stats, and even then it's problematic, because I know that the actual homeless people, some of them were boycotting the actual stat collecting job that was being carried out. So it's really hard to get a clear picture, but what we do know is it is more around the 100,000 mark rather than 40.
And that would be, when you're saying we, you're actually referring to the community housing sector as a whole. And just clarifying that for our listeners, basically. So when it comes to seniors, because this program is Senior Focus, I think it's fair enough to say that seniors are part of a hidden housing crisis, because they're not the front line housing crisis that people normally think of when they think of the homeless. But when I think of what work Grey Power does, we do have people who come and ring us up who are finding they've at the end of a 90-day eviction period. They have been with the same landlord for 15, 20 years, but the landlord wants to sell before the house prices drop. And this was particularly acute last year. We had quite a few cases, and the year before. And what invariably there would be a pattern. They would start out optimistic and smile and I'll be fine. And I'd say, well, come back and see me, you know, in a couple of months. When you're starting to be concerned. And of course they don't believe that they'll be still looking in a couple of months. I've checked that they have got skills to be able to get out on the internet or someone who can do it for them. I've checked out their plan, their action plan. It's good. And I get in touch with them in 2 months and I find, well, they're still out looking and they're a little bit anxious, a little bit worried. Then we get switched to 75 days of the 90 days and they're really, really getting to the nail-biting stage. They're losing weight. They're having sleepless nights. They're quite scared. They get overcome with anxiety. They find it hard to focus. And there isn't really anybody interested in them. I mean, they've gone to Wins, they've announced at Wins that they're looking, and Wins have said, well, you can't spend more than $370 a week. And one gulps and thinks, what can you get for that? Or you're going to have to go and boarding, you know. And this is to someone who's 78, hasn't lived with anyone since her marriage broke up some 20 years earlier. I mean, it's the preposterousness of some of the suggestions were a bit breathtaking. But anyway, yes, you could do couch surfing for a few weeks with a friend. You could.
Well, I think that might be a bit harsh for somebody over 70 to do couch surfing. That's wouldn't be a comfortable or a recommended way to deal with their homelessness. And I think that's unfair to expect people who have worked for society and are in their retirement years to be couch surfing.
Well, I would agree. But having said that, I mean, the reality is if you've got to find somewhere and there isn't anywhere and the 90 days of coming to an end, that was what I offered one person. I said, you know, you come to my place, I'll sleep on the couch, you can sleep in my bed. You know, and we'll, you know, that's the backstop. So you know you've got a plan B. And that's what people do offer quite often. But it's actually not much of an answer when there's a shortage of properties out there, when it's very difficult to find something suitable. And also, if you've been 15 years somewhere, you've generally collected quite a lot of books and papers and precious things that you're going to have to sort and put somewhere else. You can't take them all to your couch surfing place. So that means getting things put into storage and getting highly organised. That takes a lot of energy and time.
And money.
While you're meant to be looking for the place. So the whole exercise is very stressful. And there doesn't seem to be any agency or any kind of one-stop shop you can go to see what shortcuts or what advice you can get that would really work from someone who really knows. And so agencies that do cater for the homelessness tend not to be first port of call for seniors. They don't tend to associate with in those circles or with that sort of an agency. Generally, they don't have linkages. So that's a disadvantage. I think also that they should be able to get more help at Wins than they're getting.
Do you think that the elderly actually have a clear understanding of what is available to them?
No, a lot of people have got no idea because they've been managing their own life and they've never needed help and they've never reached out for help. So they're a bit nonplussed. I think that's probably part of it. Sometimes they have come from other areas. A lot of people I meet in Auckland haven't lived here for long, but they've come here in retirement because they've got grandchildren here, because they've come off a farm. They're having to learn to cope with driving around the Auckland motorways, finding that quite a challenge. or they've arrived here because they want to live in a better climate, a warmer climate. They don't want to be in the cold in the South Island or Wellington. And perhaps their family was originally here when they came, but then the family's migrated overseas and they're here by themselves. So there's a lack of social connectivity is a number one marker for people who are going to have trouble finding homes that will suit them, because they haven't got a support system around them to help them do the move.
Yeah, but I think just as much as families who are struggling and have children and they can turn up to Winds and say, look, we have had this situation where we've given 90 days, we've been looking really hard, we've not had anything and we are about to be made homeless. Surely the elderly can do that. Singles can do that, so the elderly should be able to go to Winds and have a process where they are walked through what is available to them so that they are not taking, well, having to sleep on the couch of somebody that they don't really know. They are having to accept inappropriate housing options. There should be just as it should be just as accessible for the elderly as it is for families. And I'm surprised to hear that there doesn't seem to be a lot of understanding of what they can do and what is available for them. Because working in the industry, yeah, I have to say there is not too many organisations that I could readily think about that would be housing elderly in either what's known as emergency, which is you just say, I need somewhere, and they'll place you. And they'll place you anywhere, or transitional, which is a longer-termed program of housing. And that is all geared to helping people find an appropriate house.
Well, you're right that there's no agencies and no services directed for seniors at this issue. And my experience has been that there is a great need to have some emergency housing available that people can go into immediately. But there's also the need for the transitional housing as well. And what is really, and further down the track, and when we look at the lack of housing generally that people can either purchase or rent or be moved into with state assistance, with all of that, very little of it's accessible. So we look at Hobsonville Point at the Kiwi Build over there. 92% of the houses are like terraced houses. They're multi-level. They don't have any provision for accessible use by people who have mobility issues and need a wheelchair or whatever. And that's really interesting because we have a population not just of seniors, but we have a population where 24% need accessible housing. And on this program, I've talked to about accessibility before, but 24% is the average. So in Canada, all the new builds that the government assists must all comply with accessible features. So everybody gets accessible housing, whether they need it specifically or not. That means that if you've got a friend who's in a wheelchair, they can visit you. No problem. Whereas here, I hear from quite a few seniors, well, my friends can't visit me anymore because I've got steps to get up to my place. They can't get in. So I'm moving so that my friends can still visit me. And I'm moving to a more accessible place with a flat access. That's people who've got a choice, who can afford to buy something and who've got spare cash. But it's very difficult if you're renting. So the whole renting sector, we had originally, everything was predicated around pension and government support for seniors around people owning their own homes. But increasingly, that is not the case. So we've moved now from 20% to more towards 30% in a lot of areas in Auckland where people are renting and not owning. 30% is one in three, nearly, so it's a rising figure. And it's going to be even higher in the future. So with a rapidly growing ageing population, greater need for accessibility because you've got more vulnerable people over 80, you've also got this issue of, the places not being accessible. And so you'd think with a Kiwi Build program, it would be building for the future. It would be more accessible naturally. And that's a message that we have to keep getting through to the minister and keep pushing.
Yeah, I agree, because I think what's happening at the moment is the crisis is huge. Mm. And the government is focusing on what they see as the biggest area of need, which is around children. They're getting children out of cars, out of situations where they're getting quite unwell. And there are a lot of the, what I would call minority groups or fringe groups that are being impacted around the housing as well, but they are not necessarily being considered because of the magnitude. And we're also facing within New Zealand the situation where we have moved from a nation that have held a dream, and most people have been able to gain that dream, which is buying your own home. That is no longer a accessible dream for a huge part of New Zealand's population. And so this whole renting situation is new. And there's no kind of long-term thinking around how to create houses that are appropriate for all sections of New Zealand society. And so what you're getting is, as you say, the aged population is increasing, yet there is not as much housing being built by the government for accessibility. And really, I think it's because they're doing a great job with what they're doing, but the crisis is so huge that there are significant other populations that are being missed out completely or not enough being done to meet the demand that has occurred in such a huge way.
Mm.
And you've got all of the people that you are talking about being impacted in really serious ways. And I think it's a good idea to keep that in the government's mind and in their focus, because New Zealand is ageing and it is going to create greater problems moving forward if people like yourselves do not talk about what this need is. I know the organisation that I work with called Sheltering Arms, although we are a young organisation, one of the things that we are currently working on right now is looking to see how we can actually provide appropriate, accessible housing for the elderly and the disabled. But that's, of course, in the pipelines, and it's something that is not happening right now, and we've got people in crisis right now.
Mm.
And I think if they're in huge crisis, if we could find a way for them to be accessing and talking that through with WINS, which is not always the easiest process to go through.
No.
But I think it's really important to have them turn up to WINS, because WINS is kind of the place where the government holds all of the statistics, or they try to hold all of the statistics around who is needing houses. And I think the elderly, it's hidden, because they're so good at kind of getting out there and meeting or dealing with their own problems rather than calling on the government. And when the government doesn't know about it, they don't acknowledge it. It's all about numbers, it's all about data, and it's about those people that are turning up to one saying, well, hang on a minute, I don't have a house. What can I do to get on the social housing wait list? And how can I get my rating level up so that I am actually housed within a short period of time?
Yes, and those are really good questions. And I think particularly people sometimes think they haven't got a hope, or they look at what other people's experience has been and they say, well, it took so-and-so 18 months and I've got a 90-day eviction I've got to act on my own behalf, because, you know, there's nothing there that's going to materialise fast enough. But I think what you've outlined suggests to me that we need a Be a Buddy program. We actually need a program whereby we have volunteers who will agree to go with a person to WINS, a senior, and help them tell their story and help them get on that points list and get attention. Because I think going by yourself is tough enough when you're going through this anyway. It's probably the least thing that you want to do. So if there was a buddy program, that would be really, really advantageous to the people. It would also mean that we could keep stats on people more. And focus more on that. We actually do keep stats in our office of who rings and who comes in and what they require from us in the way of resources and help and assistance. And it's proving quite interesting because our office is new. We didn't know quite how it was going to go or what extent it was going to get used, but it's getting increasing use from a wide range of people, some of whom are members and some of whom are curious about Grey Power and curious about what we offer. So yep, having a buddies program I think could be really, really helpful. I'd like to go to a break now for some music, and I've chosen Summertime, one of my Miles Davis tracks, because I think it's appropriate. We're some of us coping with the heat and finding it a bit hard to stay hydrated, but it's a good time really, and it's a better time for people who are out of housing and homeless. So let's hope we can do something for them before yes. the winter. So let's switch to Summertime. Thank you. Welcome back, listeners. And we're talking about housing and homelessness in New Zealand. And I have Rayona with me in the studio from a community housing sector background. We're basically been chatting in the break time about just what the government's long-term plan is, because this roller coaster of a housing crisis has been on its way for 9 years. It's well advanced and it's showing no signs of slowing. So no matter what the government throws at the crisis, it's getting bigger by the day. It must be quite frightening to actually look at the total picture and be the Minister of Housing. I don't think I'd want to swap places. You know, no matter how much heart you have, you have to grapple with dollars and cents. You have to grapple with what's achievable. And they've got a plan of working with developers. They can provide land and they can get buildings up. And in the end, at the end of 25 years, those buildings will be sold off. The, of course, the subsidised rentals come in and they help pay for the building in the meantime. So the developers are not out of pocket. They're not doing philanthropy. But the other alternative is philanthropy, and it's groups like Salvation Army who put up their own money, and they also use subsidised rents. But at the end, that stock is still available. So it means there could be long-term tenure for the client or for the renter. And that's what I think's been lacking, has been long-term tenure. And the 90-day eviction process has been very unsettling for a lot of people. Overseas in Europe, they have long-term tenure. They have people renting for life. We haven't had that concept in New Zealand, so that's what has to change for our future to have any sort of meaningful security in housing, I think.
And I also think that it's about allowing organisations, like I'm just thinking about Shelter in Arms organisation that we work with. The CEO, Sandy Williams, is very well connected into the property market and is very entrepreneurial around how can we connect the strong connections she has within the developers with families who are in need of housing, and working on being, you know, being slightly out of the box from what has been happening up until now, in order to get families into houses for a long period of time where they are affordable. And it's trying to marry up the developers' needs along with the government's needs, along with the families, which are caught in the middle. And I think although we are small, we are beginning to really look at some very innovative ways of doing that. But of course, it's still very much in the conceptual stage and beginning birth stage of these different ways of doing it. And of course, when there are different ways of doing things, it's really scary for all people, because you don't know how it's going to turn out. And that includes, and the government is really they're very cautious. And
risk-averse, yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can understand why they would be risk-averse, but it's finding ways to encourage them to step into new areas.
And that's what Grey Power's really keen on, is seeing that we can talk up things like Abbey Field, options that exist in Europe, and actually fire up the imagination so people can go with it. And on this note, I have to bring us to a close today, but expect to hear more from this quarter in the future. So thank you for listening, and we hope that you are inspired to consider what might be out there. And if you've got a property that can be modified to help a disabled person have a small flat under your house, that might be a really good way to help. Thanks. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.